Hi.
Good morning.
It's a great day. I want to welcome all of you and all on Zoom and all those who watch by YouTube or listen by podcast. Today is a great day. They're predicting rain for the first time in
over three weeks.
So we need it. And we prayed for it Wednesday night. And it's happening. So for those of who are watching on YouTube or listening on podcast, today's worship set, you can find a link to it in the description compartment or component of the of what you're looking at. But I want to ask those who are here or those who are listening online, what'd you get? What'd you hear? What'd you feel?
Who sang that first song?
That first song.
That wasn't Warren Day, was it?
That was Kim Walker Smith.
Kim Walker Smith.
Protector. Yeah.
I love that.
That was very good. That's one of our more recent ones. I think it's a year old now. What else? Mr. Geary.
Thanks. So Utah, her song Protector was just the view of the woods in the background. It was like those trees are connected. They protect, first of all, and they're connected to what is necessary for life. Sunshine, the roots are connected to nutrients and water for life. And thinking that, you know, for us, unless we're connected, and I mean really connected to that source, we may exist, but we're not really living life or Zoe life that you're talking about. And that we may be able to do some good things in life, but the moral part of it is, what are we connected to? Why are we, what's the motivation for what we do? Well, we can do good things. If our motivation is disconnected, it could be for personal reasons or for whatever, that we're doing these goods for accolades or whatever it happens to be. But when we're truly connected to the source, then it's truly that Zoe life and that love of God that goes through us to accomplish those good things. So all that was swirling in my mind when that camera was going back and forth through nature and, you know, showing the different plants and stuff. So
good, good.
It was good.
And today we're more aware of our connectedness than we were years ago. We've been pretty conscious of that these days and deliberately seeking out that awareness. Anyone else? Anybody?
The word protector gave me a sense of peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Protector, sense of peace. Mm-hmm. It's nice to know I don't have to put them up. Put them up, put them up. I don't have to do that. He loved that. Good. Anybody on the line want to say anything before I move? Well, I am moving before I move to the next thought.
I think I had more of a feeling of floating. Floating and free and flying and just sort of, I don't know, just very calm and very beautiful, that music and the birds. Yeah.
Good.
That was my feeling.
Good. That's good. I like that. Wow. So as I said before we started today, and I'll repeat here for those who didn't hear it or those who are online on delay, I was going to start a series of teachings or discussions on the influence of Plato on the church, but my friend Greg graciously offered me a week off next week, which I gladly accepted because I have something going Friday night that just might wipe me out for a weekend. So I have the privilege of officiating a certain wedding ceremony, and just so y'all know, I have a pair of socks that says officiant, and I'm going to wear them. Just so you know, get your heads up. Not that you'll see them, but just lost it, didn't I? Thank you, Lord. So Greg will be teaching next week. I know it's going to be awesome. I will be here, but I may have sunglasses on. I don't know. Could be a long weekend.
You think you'll be here?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about life instead today, and. My perspective of life has changed in the last 10 years, and it's changed for the better. And I'm hoping yours has changed over the last 5 or 10 years as well for the better. It doesn't mean we don't have moments when we question things, but overall, for me, life is a lot more enjoyable. In part because I know he's my protector, and I've known that for years. God showed me 25 years ago that he had my back, so I've never really worried about someone coming up behind me, both literally and metaphorically. And that's a great feeling. But beyond that, there's a sense of peace as I become to know that I'm already in the kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. And that gives me the capacity to relax and experience life in ways that I haven't done it before. And that's really what we come together, and part of why we come together is, how do I learn to walk out this life with abundant joy? Why don't you go to John 10:10 a minute? It's going to start in a different spot, but see, the beauty of coming up here and saying, God, this is your time, is you can shift when he shifts. So we're going to start at John 10:10. And we're going to go to the second half of that verse. So somebody read that.
I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Have life and have it abundantly. I'm going to put abundant life. What's abundant life? What is it?
Your cup runneth over.
Your cup runneth over with what?
Everything he has for you.
Everything he has for you.
Everything you desire.
Everything you desire.
More than you can ask or think.
More than you can ask or think.
His life in us.
His life in us. Abundant life is something he came to do. Linda.
NIV says, and have it to the full.
Abundant life to the full. I like that. Greg, you got Youngs? You have Youngs there?
Yeah.
What's it say?
Verse 10. It says, the thief doth not come except that he may steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and they may have it abundantly.
Okay. So, I'm glad you read the first half of that. If you study John chapter 9 and the beginning of John chapter 10, who's the thief? I'll give you a hint. It's not the devil. It's religion. Religion comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly to the full. I like that, Linda. Yep.
NIV did something good.
It did. As much as I usually rag on the NIV, that's really good. Thank you. Think about that. What did religion steal from you?
Abundant life.
Abundant life. Be specific. What did you say, Sherry?
My identity.
Your identity.
My freedom.
Your freedom.
Authority.
Your authority.
Peace.
Your peace. Yes.
Joy.
Joy.
Righteousness.
The gift of righteousness, it stole from you. Told you you had to earn it.
Love. They stole the gift of love.
They stole the gift of love. Yes. Yes.
Union.
My grace.
Union. Grace.
All the above.
All the above, according to Mr. Curlis. I accept that fully and completely. Multiple choice test, last one, all of the above. What else?
Stole freshness and moving forward kept you stagnant.
Yes. Freshness, moving forward, it kept you stagnant. That's good. What's wrong with stagnant?
It stinks.
It stinks. The Dead Sea.
There's no life.
Yeah, the Dead Sea is stagnant. It has no life. Wow, there's no outlet for the flow, so everything inside dies off. It stole your capacity to realize that healing is yours. It stole your capacity to understand you're chosen. And you're inherently good, not inherently bad.
It stole that we are.
Say that again.
It stole the fact that we are one. It made us separate.
Yes. Yes. It instilled separation. And it condemned you if you tried to step out of the box. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, abundant life to the full, which means everything we just said that was stolen from us has been restored and more. Think about that. What does that suggest to you? If all of that has been restored and more, it suggests
that we have all that we need right now.
Yes. Yes. And not just acceptance of what I need, but a joy that comes with it, a gratefulness that comes with it. That last song of Godfrey's, right? Everything that was in that last song to be thankful for and more.
It goes from our mind into our heart, into our knower that we know.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, does that mean I won't have a bad day occasionally? No. But in the past, I would dwell in my bad days. I would live in my bad days because religion told me I couldn't break out of them. Unless I did A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Carol.
So what's coming to me is just like the scripture said that Adam, they were separated in their mind. We lack abundant life only in our mind. So if I come out of agreement that I am, you know, lacking something, and I come into agreement that, oh, I do have abundant life to the full, and I come into that space in my thinking, it's like when you get a new car and then all of a sudden you see that car everywhere, you know, because that's what you're looking at. So if I'm looking at abundant life to the full within me, then it's going to show up.
Yeah.
Because it's already there.
It is. But we have been blinded to it from an early age until the breakthrough of Jesus came through, the light of Christ. We spent the last 5 weeks talking about simply Jesus, and one of the components is his light and life go into us from the very moment of breath, and it's constantly working to break through the veil of darkness that our society and some of our families have taught us. Just had a thought and it went, you ever had that? Come back, come back.
It's on the back side of the whiteboard.
It's on the back side of the whiteboard.
You'd probably come back if you put an I after the G in religion.
Oh. Never said.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
I knew she was here for a reason.
I don't know what I would do if she was on a honeymoon. You know, I mean, geez, who's going to correct my spelling then? You have to designate someone to correct me.
Carol, you're it.
this one will do it.
Yeah. Don't look at me. I wouldn't do it.
Now, let me ask you a couple questions that I wrote down this morning. What is your dream for your life? You can ponder that for a moment. I'm not asking you to speak out loud, but I do want you to ponder that. What is your dream for your life? If your dream is merely to survive, and 10 years ago it was survive until the rapture. Today it's not that at all. But if your dream is merely to meek out a meager existence, is that abundant life to the full now? No. Do I expect my dream or my vision for my life to actually materialize?
I didn't, but I do now.
Yeah. Yeah. What changed?
His faithfulness was there all the while, and it's coming to fruition because my life's dream is to love and be loved. And that's what he is.
Yeah.
And yeah. He's bringing that to me.
Yeah. That's good, isn't it? And are you using your imagination to manifest your vision, your dream? See, what have we been talking about over time? We've been talking about vision, imagination, expectation. If I don't expect my life to be abundant life to the fullest, am I going to have an abundant life to the fullest? No. Because I do participate in this. God told Joshua at the end of Deuteronomy 28 to choose life or choose death. Those are the only two choices. So to me, anything short of choosing the abundant life to the fullest in my as my choice and that becoming my expectation and my vision, anything short of that is choosing death.
Sometimes a slow death.
Sometimes a slow death. Death by a thousand cuts, you know? I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for you. I see all of you moving in this direction, whether you see it for yourself or not. I can see it. You know why? Because he's not a liar. He came to give you abundant life. He's not a liar. Next question. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the worst life ever and 10 being the fulfillment of your vision for life, how would you rate your life right now? Anyone? I'll gladly take feedback. You don't have to, but anybody want to jump in?
9.5.
I love it. Always room for the fulfillment of the fullest, right?
Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon comes the 10. Well, I don't know. You haven't heard my message yet. But just kidding. Just kidding. I got it. Oh, anybody else?
I want to say 10, and it's going to get better.
Mm-hmm. So who said we have to limit it to 10?
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. Jesus blows the lid off the scale, right? That's great, Sharon. I like that.
I've been kind of pondering that question this week. And in a lot of ways, my answer would be a 5, because I can reflect on times in my life when I had more adventure. I'm going to leave it right there. But the true answer is 10, because I believe that I'm right where God wants me to be, and therefore you can't do any better. Mm-hmm. So even though I've had maybe more creature comforts and different things, I still am living in a 10 zone because I'm where I need to be to get the growth that I need to have in life to succeed and to multiply.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Do you see yourself as in the potting soil right now, waiting to explode into even greater dimension?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in potting soil, growing. I got a bag and a half of potting soil on my deck that my wife is going to get to now that she can walk. So I can get it off my deck.
I'm going to plant you.
So if you're not seeing yourself in this realm, abundant life to the fullest, then you have to ask yourself, what's the problem? Let me take you back to Deuteronomy 28. What did Jesus say to Joshua? Choose life or choose death. So if I feel like I'm floundering or stagnant or not fulfilling the vision that God has given me for my life, then I have to examine some things. What are my attitudes that are holding me back? And for some of us, it's, I don't, you know, way in the back of our minds, religion has said, you don't deserve more. Your lot in life is what God has dealt you, and now play that hand. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that God has dealt you a hand that can't be changed? One of the great things about poker is you can turn in cards and get new ones. It's great.
Was life a game of poker?
Is life a game of poker? I'm not going there. but you can change your thoughts. I'm sorry, what?
Unless you got a full house or a royal flush.
Well, yeah. If you got a royal flush, you don't want to change it. Yeah, okay. But that's a good hand to start with. But that those tapes, why do we constantly go over things about life and love and light? And it's because we need to erase those old tapes and replace them. I got news for you. The tape player died out a decade ago. So why don't you just let it explode and then move beyond, right? There is no tape player anymore. Now, some of us still have a couple old ones, but I have a cassette player that I haven't used in 5 years.
I got a Walkman.
You've got a Walkman.
I got a turntable.
You got a turntable. Oh, my gosh. See? We collect dust on those things. But God talks about in Scripture life. He uses the word life. The script in the King James Version, the word of life is mentioned 450 times. Kind of significant, isn't it? In the same Bible, though, you know, there are other words that are only used a couple of times, like born again. Yet we make a whole doctrine out of it. 450 times God uses the word life, and it comes from different root words. In the Hebrew, one of the words is tahi, and it means living, alive. And that includes vegetation, flowing fresh water. Did you know flowing fresh water is alive?
Mm-hmm.
Active life, lively, active, referring to man. Sustenance, maintenance, animals, it refers to the life of animals. That's one usage. Another is nefesh, where it integrates the concept of the soul or self. Part of our life, we're self-conscious, but we should be self-conscious in our union with Christ. Because the minute you step out of self-consciousness and your union with Christ, you become on the road to narcissism. Why is our culture in such deep, deep trouble today? It's because our culture has collectively stepped back and disconnected to a large part of the concept of God and union, in part because Western religion has demeaned and diminished people. And they're inherently have this, everyone has in them a desire to know the Creator, but it becomes, when we tell people you're junk, it suppresses that, it covers that. And so we start looking for that acceptance, that love in places that we would never have thought of 40 or 50 years ago. And all you got to do is look at the culture today. And you see that. And I don't say that from a condemning perspective. I see that from an objective perspective. If you go to Romans chapter 1, you see the downward progression of what happens when we become self-focused. Now, that doesn't mean God loves those people any less, because he doesn't. He does love them the same as he loves everyone else. And I've had issues in areas in my life where I became self-focused until God caught my attention, sometimes gently, sometimes not so gently. You know, with this, my German heritage, sometimes it takes a 2x4 to catch my attention. And I remember that in the concept of money. 25 years ago, Bill and I were having discussions about money, and I was not financially disciplined, shall we say. And I got that from my dad. My dad would spend every dime he had for everyone else, give you the shirt off his back. But he was okay with that because he always knew it would work out. So, you know, when Carol being the bean counter, so to speak, and me being this frivolous spender, dare I say it caused conflict. And then we found Dave Ramsey. She found Dave Ramsey. I went one arm tied behind my back. And wow, it was like God hit me over the head with a 2x4. See, there's a better way. No, it was in love. It didn't get knocked out, but my whole thought pattern changed. So Nefesh, soul, self, life, creature, person, appetite, mind, living being, desire, emotion, passion. Dreams should have desire, emotion, passion. That which breathes, the breathing substance or being, soul, the inner being of man, a living being with life in the blood, the seed of appetite, the seed of emotions and passions, activity of the mind, activity of the will, activity of the character. All of that is part of the concept of life in one usage, and that's used 700. The fesh is used and translated 753 times, but not all of that as life. Only 117 times as life, but 475 times as soul. Your life is active and integrated, and your soul is an active part of that. You cannot separate your soul. And let me tell you this, you cannot separate your thoughts, your mind, your will, your emotion, your body, or the breath of life in you. It's all integrated. You cannot separate it. And our society pushes us to separate it. Hey, let's focus on the body. Take a pill. Let's focus on our mental health. Take another pill. And the pill for mental health contradicts the pill for the body, and you end up with all kinds of problems. So we have been taught as in our society to, well, I'm a spirit, and I have a soul, and I live in a body, almost to the point that if you cut off any one of those, you can still exist independently, but you can't. Ooh, that's a board. You can't exist independently. And that's part of what we're going to talk about starting in a couple of weeks. Now, if you take a look at another word in the Hebrew is koyah, and to live, to have life, to remain alive, to sustain life, to live prosperously. An Old Testament concept about abundance. Live forever, to be quickened, to be alive, to be restored to health or life, to be revived from sickness, from discouragement, from faintness, from death. Even in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, there's this sense of abundance. There's a sense of being revived into a higher place emotionally, spiritually, physically, than every day. But by the time Jesus came, the masses of his time and the Jewish population weren't living abundantly. So if Jesus, even in the Old Testament, was about having a sense of abundance, having more than enough, a sufficiency, even to be able to help others, and by the time Jesus came, they were so oppressed by the Romans, they were so oppressed by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they couldn't even breathe. 613 laws, and if you broke one, you broke them all. That's a heavy burden, a heavy burden. And yet religion taught me I had to follow almost all of those in different form, but I didn't get to breathe. And that's why I left the church when I was 20 years old. I just said, "Phooey, I can't do this. This God's going to kill me no matter what I do, so I might as well go off and have fun." Well, that fun cost me my health. My health spiraled down. Linda remembers those days. My health was really tenuous for a while. And you have multiple respiratory infections in 1 year. That's not fun. And I didn't see abundant life in that. But it was a result of my choices because I made a choice. I didn't choose to follow life, but I didn't understand what life was. I didn't understand the life of Jesus. Heck, when I was growing up and would read John 10:10, the church would tell me the thief was the devil. Well, you can't tell, you can't expect the church to tell you it's religion, because that would change some things. And when I found out it wasn't religion, it did change things for me. My attitude became more positive and more expectant of the good things of life. So let's talk about Zoe a minute, because in the New Testament, there's two words. I'll put this down before I spill it. There are two words for life. One is Zoe. What is Zoe? I'll write the other one up here while you're contemplating that. Suke is the other one. What's Zoe like? God life?
It's the totality of everything that God gave you.
The totality of everything that God gave you. It's the God life. In your union and oneness, it's the God life. So it's where the Lord intimately shares the gift of life with you, creating us in his image and likeness and expanding on what that looks like. It's the working out Zoe life is the bringing in the abundant life into the now. You have abundant life now. But Terry, my car needs to be fixed. Okay? You have abundant life now.
Over and over it needs to be fixed.
Over and over. It's what sustains me in tough times. It's what empowers me all the time. But I lose focus so quickly. How many of you lose focus on abundant life so quickly? It's because things happen. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need each other to help pick us up when a certain vehicle in my life is draining the resources. See, you ebb and you flow, and you ebb and you flow. And when I'm not flowing, but I'm ebbing, someone can come along and speak a word of life, a word of encouragement. And I can begin to flow again. And that's part of what Zoe life is about. It really is about our existence in a positive way. And it's about the absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God, running through us and being part of us. And it's life that it's real, it's genuine, it's active, it's vigorous. Zoe life is a vigorous life. Mm-hmm. What's a vigorous life?
Full of vitality.
Full of vitality.
Christ-centric.
Christ-centric. Growing, is that what you said?
Growing.
Mm-hmm.
Expanding.
Mm-hmm.
Expanding. Not stagnant.
Not stagnant. Got that river running through me. That river of life running through me. And yes, I am kind of stoked today. So, Carol.
So what keeps running through my mind is that scripture about in 1 Peter 1:23. Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, which we know the living and abiding word of God is Jesus Christ. We all have that seed within us that is imperishable, that no matter what we go through, no matter what we experience, no matter what we do, that seed is incorruptible. It's there. And I think coming to the realization that, oh, it is there, and allowing that seed to grow,
mm-hmm.
you know, to acknowledge, oh, I have the river of life within me. I have this incorruptible seed within me, and allow it to mature and allow it to expand and grow within.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean my life is going to be hunky-dory perfect every minute of the day, but it means I'm moving in that direction every minute of the day. When I have a tough time, when I hit a tough season, you know, we just went through in my world, a tough season with Carol having broken her ankle. I mean, that meant shifting, adjusting, doing it on the fly. And at the same time, though, realizing that even in that moment, I can grow. I can expand. One of the aspects of Zoe life, and I just love this, it talks about, and I just read it, but I can't put my finger back on it, about the tree of life. Part of the abundant life, part of Zoe life is realizing I have access to the tree of life. To the tree of life. Who's the tree of life? Jesus, right? Jesus is the tree of life. And I have unfettered access to the tree of life. I can choose not to exercise that access, or I can choose to exercise that access. But again, it comes back to me making a choice. And there'll be times in life when we're so overwhelmed by life, it's difficult for us to make a choice. And we tend to want to retreat. But that's the time we need to plug in. Because Gary could say something to me that might help me break through back to the realization I can access. But if I stay home, hunker in my bunker, which in the past I've wanted to do at times, hunker in the bunker. If I'm living in a hermetically sealed bunker, how much life is going to penetrate that? And if my air scrubber breaks down, I'm in big trouble. And so the Zoe part of life is not a future event, it's a now. If I'm thinking Zoe happens when I die, I've missed it. Because scripture says, what is eternal life? What is eternal Zoe? To know God and the one whom he sent. Now. That's where eternal Zoe is in the now. So every aspect of this abundant life that Jesus came to give us, he came to give it to us in the now. You know, remember that old song, I'll Fly Away, Lord Jesus? It's not when I fly away that I get it. It doesn't end when I fly away, if whatever that may mean metaphorically, but it's a now moment for all of us. And again, I may have difficulty accessing it in any given moment of time, but the overall projection is an ongoing increase. You know, I may go up and down and up and down, but you know, those old graph charts of finances, ultimately, if you put a straight line through it, it goes up. And that's where our expectation should be. And if you're struggling with expectation, go back and listen to his two teachings on it. Go back and listen to Greg's teachings, because expectation is a part of life. If I don't have an expectation, then I'm just waiting to die.
And a lot of people are.
Yep. Yep. Now, suke is actually breath and soul. When did man get suke?
God breathed into it.
When God breathed into it. Mm-hmm. Genesis chapter 1. And that has never, ever, ever been sucked back out. God, after Genesis 3, God did not take a vacuum and suck that life back out. If anything, he breathed even more, because he knew that someday he would have to awaken to the truth that was lost in Genesis 3.
I'm just thinking there are a lot of people who want to suck the life out of you.
And you know, the beauty of it is he's always got a plan to connect us in love, which actually energizes life. What are you guys hearing so far?
I have more than I can imagine or think.
You have more than you can imagine or think. And is it manifesting now?
Process.
That's good. That's good. Some things are manifesting now, and some things are processing towards manifestation. And we need to be comfortable with that and not let that deter our thoughts. Anyone else? Got something, Marilyn? You look like you got something.
Could it be forever, too?
Oh, sure.
Now and forever?
Sure. Yeah, now and forever. Now and forever. I think there's a song about that. That's what we are, right? Now and forever. Isn't that how that song goes? Good point. Nobody commented on my song, so we'll move on.
The one from Annie about tomorrow is going through my
mind. Tomorrow? No, it's today and tomorrow. We should change that song. Rewrite that song, Stuart.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that. We talk about repentance being metanoia, changing your mind. And it really, what Jesus came to do is to not just to bust religion, but to change our minds.
Yeah. Change your mind about what kind of things?
And then when you look at what he did on the cross. Uh-huh.
I have the question.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Want an answer.
What was the question?
Change your mind about what kind of things?
About the difference between going from life to death.
Okay.
Or death to life, I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's one. Give me another one.
The character and nature of God.
The character and nature of God. Come on, give me another one.
The character and nature of us.
Character and nature of us. How about what an abundant life looks like?
Yeah.
All right, back to you, Stuart. Sorry.
You know, I just, you know, when I think about how much we create our own future by our subconscious, that when you look at what he came to do at the cross was to change all that. Mm-hmm. And to give us, to show us a better way, and to crucify that religious, you know, really, because when at the cross, he fulfilled the religious commands. Mm-hmm. So now we move on.
It's good. It's good. Any other thoughts? Marilyn or Daryl, any thoughts that you want to share at this point? Muriel, I'm sorry. Muriel.
She's shaking her head now.
Oh, okay, cool. Daryl, anything you want to share? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Me, no. Not a whole lot.
Okay. All right. So, if we have the absolute fullness of life, which is Zoe, both essentially for the physical and ethically and emotionally and spiritually, which comes from God through him to us in our union and oneness in Christ, can I walk around with my head up, head down, or not walk around at all? What should I be doing? This is an identity component. If I'm walking around with my head down, I've got an identity problem. But you see, Zoe Light should help me keep my head up. It should help me share. Have you been to the grocery store lately? Not a rhetorical question. Raise your hand. How many have been to the grocery store lately? How many times in your trips recently to the grocery store have you locked eyes with someone?
The greeter.
Well, you must go to Walmart or Meijer. They don't have greeters at Forest Hills Foods. But think about it. You lock eyes with them, and you're so confident in who you are, and you're so confident in who Christ is, and you're sparkling. What happens to them when you lock eyes?
Changes their demeanor.
Yeah, the light and energy in us transfers to them.
And ignites the light and energy in them even more, and they'll even smile. Oh, they smile. But, you know, COVID taught us. COVID taught us to avoid eye contact and keep our distance. What were you laughing about? I missed it.
They said, or they call security.
Yeah. Well, you know, in California now, it's illegal for security to confront a shoplifter. So that's the latest that they're trying to do anyway. But when we're locking eyes, we're not shoplifting. We're imparting. Yuri.
That makes a lot of people nervous.
It does. But why, Greg? Why does it make them nervous?
Because they feel like they're going to be exposed.
Yes.
Mm.
And I see that when we are prophetic.
Yeah. Yes. They don't want to be exposed. You lock eyes, you penetrate, because the eyes are the window to the soul. And so you're penetrating into their soul. And they're thinking you're seeing the darkness when really you're just conveying the light. Oh, how we've been conditioned. I'm here to break conditioning. I didn't say conditioner, I said conditioning. We don't use hair conditioner, we use Jesus condition breakers. Or whatever that means.
In life, though, that's how, I don't want to say most, but a lot of people, when someone looks at them, it's, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. That's what they've experienced in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, to Greg's point in the prophetic, when you start speaking words of life to them, you can see things change in their eyes. It's not the, from the condemnation look to the, oh, this is something different look. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Then the tears come.
Yeah.
Oftentimes. You know, and that's one of the components that, you know, I think I told you all, I enrolled in a PhD program. And my thesis is going to be about how great grace in the Trinitarian theology is throwing the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to prophetic ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a while to put all that together, but that's where I'm going with that. And each of you carries life. Each of you can take life and share it. I think people are more guarded today than they were 50 years ago. I think 50 years ago, it was a little bit more open society in a sense. You shook a person's hand, you looked them in the eye. Today, you shake a person's hand, and oftentimes they're looking at the handshake.
You know? That's if they shake hands with you.
That's if they'll shake hands with you.
Right.
Or it's a fist bump now instead of a handshake, because we've been conditioned by COVID to back up. I mean, the pandemic caused us to back up, and people are having a hard time breaking back out into association and affiliation and connectedness. So I'm going to challenge you this week. I think I'm just about done. Hey, what are you guys hearing? I have a challenge for you, but not for you two, but for the rest of you. Actually, no, for you two, because this will be perfect for the reception. Okay, go ahead. What are you guys hearing right now? What are you thinking?
I think there is a shift in mindset about the abundant life and what you said before about on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you? And when you guys are saying 10, because we live in it right now, the abundant life, because it's within us, that was powerful to me. I think that that's something I'm going to carry with my thoughts for the next. For this week, and let that stew away.
Good. So Muriel's going a pondering.
I'm a pondering.
Anyone else?
Find the joy in the process.
Find the joy in the process. How do you do that, Gary?
Day by day, moment by moment.
Okay. Is there an expectation that goes with that?
Yes.
An expectation of finding the joy daily.
Absolutely.
Good. Good. Sharon is rocking her sideways.
No.
Tilt.
It just sometimes Zoe life becomes Zoe life for me. But
so you're married.
I've got control.
Yeah.
I can flip that switch.
Yeah. Yeah. And when the zoo becomes too emotional, you can just call up someone else and say, "Can you walk me back into Zoe?" I'm serious. That's what life coaches do. That's what other people do. You know, that's what true pastors do instead of just teachers. I say that anyway. So here's the assignment for the week: look people in the eye and just smile. You can do that.
No.
Yeah. And watch how they react. And internally, Lord, ignite the fire. Ignite the joy of life in them. Rekindle it, maybe is a better word, because it's already there. It just needs to be rekindled. And in whatever circumstance they're experiencing right now, Lord, just show them how loved they are. All of that can happen like that, looking them in the eye and smiling, and you're doing that internally.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
Look at yourself in the mirror.
Look at yourself in the mirror. Oh my gosh.
That starts it off.
It started out with that. That's good. That's good. All right, that's pretty much all I have to say today, unless you guys have something else. I hope this is encouraging to you today. But I felt like this was a place to like pause, so then when Greg takes over next week and then right after that, we are really going to look into some thought patterns that Plato implanted in us and in our society that have held us from jumping off into the fullness of all of this. How many want to do that? How many want to get rid of old thought patterns that... Well, buckle up because the rocket takes off in 2 weeks. I have no idea what he's talking about next week. It may start next week. I don't know. But the solid booster ignites in 2 weeks. All right, Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for those who are here, those on Zoom, those who will watch later on YouTube or listen on a podcast. Papa, we're all just so excited by you. And so much is happening in our lives. So we just thank you for the ability that you give us to slow down and breathe. You've given us many techniques, breathing being one, to just slow down even in the midst of the most urgent moment. And so with that, we just praise you. We're excited in this season. And we just rest knowing that your love is constantly, constantly replenishing our life and stirring our life and bringing greater joy and peace as we walk this out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.